Now hear the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And Jesus said to them, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. But Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You know, every week as preachers go to prepare their sermons, they bring a lot of their experiences, their encounters, the things that are going on around them to their sermon preparation. And as they read Scripture, they bring that into the presence of God in Scripture. And the sermon kind of emerges from that. So sometimes it'll be current events that come out. Sometimes it'll be our encounters with people. And that's why you might feel that sometimes I'm preaching specifically to you. Sometimes I might be. But this week was a difficult preparation because this week I'm preaching to me. And so if I sound a bit directive, if I sound a bit harsh, know that I'm speaking more to me than to you. You know, last week we talked about John's gospel being roughly divided into the book of signs describing the ministry of Jesus and the book of glory describing that last week in Jerusalem, culminating in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Our gospel reading this week is in that second half, the book of glory. We find Jesus at table with the disciples as they prepare for the Passover. Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples. He's predicted his betrayal and sent Judas away. He's given the new commandment to love one another. And he's predicted Peter's betrayal. And now he says to them, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. See, Jesus has laid before them a sketch of what is about to happen. His betrayal, his death, resurrection, and ascension, and their own confusion, disorientation, and disloyalty. He has told them that their circumstances will make no sense at all, that their world will be shaken to the core, that their expectations will be shattered into irreparable pieces. And he tells them, Let not your hearts be troubled, but just believe in God. This word believe is an interesting word. John uses it 85 times in his gospel. Jesus uses this word to describe the work of God when he says, and the work of God is that you believe in him and believe in him whom he sent. You know, I tend to think of believing as this intellectual assent to a set of ideas. But as we dig into the biblical context of this word, we find that it means so much more. This word, pisteuo, is the verb form of pistis, which we translate as faith. So we might translate believe in this context better as have faith, or even better, act in faith. You know, I think we might even consider John to be the father of modern cognitive behavioral theory, which asserts that our response to the circumstances that we encounter, our actions, our emotions, our behavior, result from our beliefs and our values. John calls us to believe, to base our interpretation and response to the things around us on Christ alone. We might look at it this way. Have you ever been rappelling? You know, we can stand on the ground and look, and we can believe that the rope and the harness will hold our weight. We can work out the physics of weight and friction, tensile strength, and all the like. We can watch others descend in safety. I can intellectually believe, but when I stand on the edge and I have to lean back and put my weight on the harness and the rope and not on my own feet, that's believing. We can talk doctrine and dogma, biblical interpretation, ethics and philosophy all we want as intellectual exercises. But to believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, moves beyond the mind to the heart, to the very core of our being, and changes the way that we understand and respond to the world around us. Let not your hearts be troubled, but instead believe in God and believe also in me. And now Thomas asks for all of us, how can we know? How can we know the way? How do we know how to believe at the very core of our being? And Jesus responds in one of those I am statements. The assertions of the character and nature of God, the great I am, who is manifest in Jesus. And he tells them, I am the way and the truth and the life. You know, we're constantly bombarded by claims of seven steps to this and five steps to that. The very purpose of advertising is to make us think first that we are deficient in some way, and that this product that's being advertised will make us better in some way. We have whole sections of bookstores that are self-help, the better way, or the way to a better life, with a better self-reference state of pleasure, security, or satisfaction. We're ever tempted to let our circumstances define who we are, or even to think that we are in ultimate control of our circumstances. Jesus challenges these false claims that surround us, saying, in me, you know the way. In me, you know the truth. In me, you have life. In me, you are already enough. You are already beloved. You are already here. A friend of mine actually describes the spiritual journey as the difficult task of becoming who you have always been. Our identity, the essence of our being, our value and worth is in Christ as the beloved. Believing this is the difficult task of rejecting the false claims that surround us and even within us that attempt to interpret our circumstances in some other way. Let not your hearts be troubled, but instead believe in God and believe also in me. And again, one of the 12 speaks for all of us. This time it's Philip who asks, but how do we really know? Show us the Father, and that will be enough. Jesus responds with a description of one of the great mysteries of the Trinity, the indwelling oneness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, do you not know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? That indwelling oneness that we invite ourselves into as we celebrate the Eucharist and we pray that we will be made one body with Christ so that he may dwell in us and we in him. Jesus goes on to describe the end result of this indwelling oneness as he says that even he does not speak of his own authority, but by the presence of the Father within him. This total, glorious surrender of self to love that we see manifest in the Trinity is what Jesus is now inviting us to participate in as we believe not only with our minds, but with our hearts and our souls and all that we are. He invites us to participate in the work of God in his name. He invites us to be who we already are, sons and daughters of the living God. The mighty work of God in reconciling all creation to himself is continued in us as we no longer act in selfish ambition, but in holy surrender to love, so that the Father may indeed be glorified in the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. So as we come today by that same power to celebrate our identity as the beloved at this table, We may remain physically separated, but we are bound together by the Holy Spirit. So we come together in the Spirit, believing, having faith, trusting, relying upon, counting our very existence in the living God. We come together proclaiming in the midst of so many disruptions and distractions that Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, is the way, the truth, and the life, the measure and purpose of our being. And then we are sent out to do the work of God, which He has already prepared for us. Our actions, thoughts, and emotions stemming from our belief that we are indeed beloved children of God, letting our love and service to others come from this love within us to the glory of His name. And so I charge you and I charge me, just as Jesus charged the disciples gathered around the table, let not your hearts be troubled, but instead believe in God and believe in also in Jesus the Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.